Yes.
One is okay.
Okay, before we start learning today, I was asked to announce that tonight there's a session for single people about dating. It's open to the public, free of charge. It's 5:01 at 8 o'clock in First Hall. Okay, you saw the signs all over. What else? Sunday I won't be able to give a shiur. Monday, how many people think they'll be able to be here? After people. It may be Monday morning. Monday morning is Labor Day. So maybe Monday morning we'll give a shiur on Parshas HaShavua. So whoever misses it will not miss the Gemara. Okay, good. So Sunday I won't be here. Monday, 10 o'clock, we'll learn Parshas HaShavua. Now, first we'll wrap up old business, then we'll start something new. We were discussing yesterday and the day before about the Rambam's opinion. The Rambam seems pretty clearly that he holds that Hayotzin HaAser, also that we learned from that Pasuk on Daf Samach Dala on the days Bas Hayano, that it only applies if the Iser is an Iser Lav. If it's Yotzi from an Iser that the whole Iser is only an Iser Asay, then the Magen Mishnah says that's the Rambam Shita, and it sounds like that's what the Rambam says, that Yotzi Manasa doesn't apply. And the heard that's exactly what you learn from the Pasuk ever, it's Avos Cholav Dvash. The Havamina would have been that all milk in the world should be Aser, because milk is the Yotzi Min HaAser. So what's the Iser Ein HaZvucha? L'chaira, that's how Taisus learned. Iser is Ein HaZvucha and Iser Esay. And that's what the Pasuk tells me, Eretz Avos Cholav Dvash, that the Din of Yotzi Min HaAser doesn't apply to an Iser Esay. That's what it seems from the Rambam. So if people have time and if they have an interest to, there was a great Goyen 100 years ago in Europe who was known as Rabbi Tzol Panavizha. He was a super genius. From all the geniuses, he was the biggest genius. So there's a little sefer Zecha Yitzchak has tshuvas and pilpulim. So in the very end, Simon Pei, they have miscellaneous topics from him. So the first of the miscellaneous topics, Likutim Shonim, Os Aleph, he deals with the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Mem Omid Aleph. Where the Gemara talks about eating kosher fish, the halacha requires you have to eat kosher fish. In order to determine whether the fish is kosher, you have to check to see if it has snapper the kaskeses. So the Gemara discusses a situation where you're not 100% sure that the fish have snapper the kaskeses because the skin was removed already. So the skin was removed, how are you ever going to know? So the Gemara says, there's a case where you have the rov. The rov is that it's really kosher. Okay, a certain case. So what's the din? Are you allowed to eat the fish? So the Gemara suggests a distinction between the fish and the tzir of the fish. If you have a non-kosher fish, not only are you not permitted to eat the flesh of the fish, you're not allowed to eat the tzir of dogim tmeim either. That's the Gemara here in Hulin somewhere. No? You see a dogim tmeim? We had it recently. No? I think I had it at this. Here on Kuf Yud Beis on the base. Kuf Yud Beis on the base. Mm. Tosis Dibra Masa Hatmeim Leset Sirim. Drosha Gmurihi Tosis Kufiu Deis and Deis. Dibra Masa Hatmeim. Drosha Gmurihi Legabi Shrotzim Ubehema. Chutz Migabi Dogim. By Dogim, Tmeim, if you have Tzir from Dogim with Tmeim, there is also a drosha that the Tzir is Osir. So Tosis says there it's only an Asmachta. As they explain, Kidi Perishis, the Perikin Anosha, Eliel Daf Tzadik Tesam and Beis. Interpreting the Gemara there, Shiny Tzir, Dzeya Bialmahu, Tzadik Tes on the base. Let's see, what does it say on Tzadik Tes on the base?
What exactly is Tzir on the nose? What is it?
Not sure, we're going to have to learn some more to find out what it is. So Tesa said there, Tzayni, Dibam, and Tzadik Tes on the base, Dimaskal, Shiny Tzir, Dzeya Bialmahu, Pirish, Lo Yaseh Elam and the Rabbanon. Not all of Rishonim agree. That's what Tosis reads. So the Gemara here on the Daf Mem Amud Aleph discusses a situation where you have, I don't know why in the Zecha Yitzchak it's a misprint, it says on Daf Lamentes. It's not on Daf Lamentes. It's on Daf Mem Amud Aleph. So the Tosis there is bothered with the Kasha Tosis Mem Amud Aleph and Masechus Avodah Zarah Dimamaschal Machlekes B'Tziron Avol B'Gufan Lo. The Gemara draws a distinction between eating the flesh of the Dogim themselves, you have a roiv that indicates that the fish are kosher, so the roiv is not enough. Kala terukula, you rely on roiv. Acharam lahatas. If the roiv is that the thing is kosher, you're allowed to eat it. Are you allowed to drink any milk? They once asked Rabbi Heinen at an Aguda convention, they had a session about kashra. So they asked him, when he gives the hashgachis for the star K, does he rely on roiv? Or does he check up everything 100%? So he says that we all rely on roiv, that you can't give a hashgacha on milk if you're not relying on roiv. The Gemara says, how do you know that the animal that you're milking is a behema kshera? Maybe it's a trefa. So the answer is that roiv behema is kshera same. We all know that there is a certain percentage of animals that are trefas. So the halacha says you can rely on roiv. A roiv that we can check up on, so that we try to check up on. But if you can't check up, so the halacha says you do rely on roiv. That's the, otherwise you can't drink any milk. All the milk in the world is us. So here the Gemara says, if you have a roiv that the fish, the Nachri delivers fish in a container, and the fish don't have the skin is removed already. So you won't know whether it's kosher or treif. So the Gemara says, to eat the fish itself, you're not allowed to. But to eat the tzir of the fish, you're allowed to. So you could say, based on the tesis that we have in Chulin, on Tzadik Tes on the base, and where the other one was Kufiud the Gimel on the base, that tzir of dog and tmeim is only asmachta mit the Rabbanon, Kufiud based on the base. That tzir of dog and tmeim is only asmachta mit Rabbanon, so it's simple. That here it says Sveka deraisa luchum, and here it says Sveka derabbanon lekula. They don't want to rely on the roiv, but if the tzir is only the rabbanon, so then even a sofik would be muta mikra din. So the roiv is enough. So the Tosis there disagrees with the Tosis. The Tosis there enough, but his Daf Mem and all of things. Tzira nami yisad deraisa kiri aminim bechulan hatmen lasit tzirum veroitfon. Rabbi Kivega points out, and the Gilyan Ashas, look in the Tosis there. The Tosis contradicts it. He says, I'm primigladim. The Yeridei Simen Pei Gimel. Simen Pei Gimel is a simen about Dogim. So the Prima Gordon points out that there are two opinions in Tosis. Tosis' opinion in Chulin is that Tzir Dogim Tmeim is only the Rabbanan, and Tosis' opinion in Avodah Zarah is that Tzir Dogim Tmeim is an Issa Deraz. So Tosis is bothered with Akasha. If the Tzir Dogim Tmeim is the same level of Chomer HaIsser as the Bizarre Dogim Tmeim, so why should you distinguish between the two? So Tosis stands on the head and gives a Shver Pshat, a very Dachik Dikab Pshat. So Rabbi Tzala was a genius. So he gives his suggestion. So he quotes a Rivosh. This Rivosh is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Rivosh has a comment on the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah. The Rambam lists off in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, if you look in the beginning of Hilchos Makolos Asuros, so the Rambam counts as a mitzvah saseh. One of the mitzvahs I say is libdak b'simane behema tohira. Before you eat any flesh from any animal, you should be bodek to see if it's really malagera mafis parsa. Before you eat any fish, you should be bodek to see if it has snapper and has kesis. Before you eat any birds, you should be bodek to make sure that it's an eitz kohar. You should always be bodek to simanim in advance to make sure that it's kosher. So the mefarshim don't understand. Why is that a mitzvah saseh to be bodek? There's a din. You're not allowed to eat non-kosher flesh. You're not allowed to eat non-kosher fish. You're not allowed to eat non-kosher birds. What do you mean? Mitzvah says, libdak b'simane behema tahara. That's the first, let's see, mitzvah one in the Hilchos Machlokes Asuros. In the beginning of every section of Rambam, he tells you all the mitzvahs. Here he has 28 mitzvahs in this section, Hilchos Machlokes Asuros. So the first is libdek b'simani behema v'chayla havdol bein t'meil l'tahor. Mitzvah number two, libdek b'simani ha'of l'havdol bein atomi l'tahor. And then mitzvah number three, libdek b'simani chagovim l'havdol bein tomi l'tahor. And the mitzvah number four, libdek b'simani dogim l'havdol bein tomi l'tahor. What kind of libdok? If you won't check, you'll be in violation of the law, says. What do you mean there's a mitzvah, says? So the Rivash interprets the Rambam that it means like this. Let's say I know that in a certain river and a certain location in the ocean, the different fish swim in different oceans. We know that. There's certain fish that swim near South Africa, certain fish that swim near Alaska. The fish from South Africa you ain't gonna find by Alaska, and the fish from Alaska you're not gonna find by South Africa. So there's a rive. You can figure out based on rive whether most of the fish over here are kosher or treif. So based on the rive, really that should be enough to be matir the isra lo sesei. So that's why there's a mitzvah sesei. You're not allowed to eat a fish without checking the simon. And if you, even though you have a rive, and if you ate the fish and you didn't check the simon, then later on it turns out that it was a kosher fish. After you ate it, let's say they removed the skin, and you ate it without checking the skin, why do you eat it? Based on the rive. So that's the mitzvah sesei, that you shouldn't have done that. So if later on you check and it turns out that it was kosher, but igloy muslim afreya, still you didn't violate the loy sesei, you followed the rive and the rive was correct in this case. But still you're mevatel the mitzvah sesei. There's a mitzvah sesei to check all the time to make sure that the fish have snapper bekaskeses. It doesn't mean that you have to check every single fish. Let's say they give me a behemoth to check. So I have to check. I'm shechting behemoth kesedim. I have to check every behemoth to see if it's malager, maf, it's pas. I have no time to check. I know that a cow is kosher. I know that a goat is kosher. I know that a sheep is kosher. That's what the darke tshuva is. Let's say they give me a tuna fish. Every time they give me a tuna fish, I have to check. I know that this is a tuna fish. A tuna fish, I already know that it has snapper bekaskeses. That's what the darke tshuva writes. If you know what the thing is, and you know that this animal has snapper bekaskeses, and you know that this bird has all the simonim, all the first simonim to determine that it's a kosher bird, and you know that it's malager, mafis, pas, it's a fratik, so there's no need to check the simonim anymore. The need to check the simonim only applies if you don't know what the min of the thing, of the min of the balchai is. You don't know what the min is. So as far as the lois essay is concerned, not the behemoth tamei, so that nikar adin deraisa, should be allowed to rely on the raiv. Comes the mitzvah sesed, libdik b'simonim, it says you're not allowed to do that. So Rabbi Tzel Aponavish interprets that that's what's going on in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Amud Aleph. You have a fish which the skin was removed. No one can identify the fish. Once you no longer have the snap of a kaskes, you can't identify the fish. But the rive is, due to the circumstances the Gemara has over there, the rive is that it probably was a kosher fish, based on the river that it came from, or based on other things the Gemara talks about on Daf Mem Amud Aleph. The right is that it's kosher, but that's exactly what the mitzvah sesei is. Libdik b'simani dogim, not to rely on the rive. So the Gemara says to eat the bisar ha-fish, that you're not allowed to, but to eat the tzir, what's the whole isar of tzir? Tzir is an isar because it's yaitzim and ha-asar asa. But the whole isar to eat the flesh is only an isar esek. Libdik b'simani. Because as far as the law says, he was a genius. He was a genius, a super genius. So the whole isar to eat the flesh of the fish is only an isar esek, because based on the rive, the right indicates that it's a kosher fish. It is not loisesei. So since the holy isa to eat the fish is only an isa esei, so according to the Rambam, we understand the Gemara very well. Taisus doesn't agree with the Rambam. Taisus thinks that yotze min ha'asar even applies if it's yotze from an isa esei. It doesn't have to be yotze from a loisesei. So that's what Taisus breaks the head on Daf Nema and Aleph and Gemara Avodah Zarah to try to understand why is there a difference between eating the sar ha'fish as opposed to eating the tzir of the fish. Tzir is also an isa deraisa. According to the Taisus in Chulin, it's not a kasha in the first place. It's your dogma's fame is only the Rabbanah to begin with. According to the Taisus in Avodah Zarah, they were bothered with a kasha. That's Rabbi Tzela.
Just for a question, that sears yotzim from the dog?
That's his suggestion. So we got to figure out what is. In other words, he assumes sear is not dina kibasar. Sear is not dina kibasar, but it's only an isa. A prina of yotzim in hasa. which he thinks is only an Issa Resa. Yotze Min Osa, according to the Rambam, is only an Issa Resa. Yesterday we had the Taisus in Chulin, Samach Dala Raman Aleph, we had a Machlekes Rashi and Taisus. Chulin, on Samach Dala Raman Aleph, Rashi writes on the last line in his commentary on Samach Dala Raman Aleph, Yotze Min Osa, there's no Malkus, it's only an Issa Resa. And Taisus disagrees with the Rashi, the Machlekes Rashi and Taisus on that daf. Abchaim Soloveitchik points out the Machlekes Rashi and Taisus. He points out the Rambam is beferish like Rashi. Then Yotze Min Ha'aser, there's no Issa Lav. Yotze Min Ha'aser, it's not that it's Kiguf Hadover, it's an Issa Yotze, it's a new Issa. So that's why the Rambam is able to say that Yotze Min Ha'aser doesn't apply if the initial Issa was only an Issa Resa. Okay. So that's our Bitzel Panovich. He's always good for a Harifas. Maybe it's even right too. Maybe it's the correct shot. Okay, yesterday we mentioned. We were talking about the Tosfos topic and Beitza Davavam and Beis. We were trying to ascertain what is Fleishig and what is Paravim. So chicken is a Machlekes, what is Fleishig, the Raisa Rabbanim, the Sarchai is a Machlekes, Hatanoim, Steven, the Rambam. Then we spoke about Karnaim, with Tlofim, the Gemara says, not Fleishig, Menatera, Dam is not Bechlav Bosa, Dam is not Fleishig, the Shilya is not Fleishig, the Shlil is Fleishig. So we were working a lot on this. So what about Beitza? So, we do have an institution of basa b'cholav on chicken. Either it's the rice or the rabbanon. But bottom line, the chicken is considered fleshig. We pass them in the rabbanon. Fine. So when do you say b'tzosa kemoisa and the beitzah is dina kibosar? When do you say b'tzosa is lav kemoisa? Someone showed me this morning the rabbein of Peretz. On the Tosfos on davavam and beis and beitzah, instead of using a lashon b'tzosa kemoisa, use a different lashon. Is it yerechimo or not? Like we talk about Uba Yarchim, Uba Lav Yarchim, so he says, is the Beitza Kierecha Tarnagoylas? Means that it's Kipsora, it's Fleishig, but it's not Kierecha Tarnagoylas. Same thing, a different expression, same thing. So what is the relevance, whether Beitzosa Kemosa, Beitzosa Lav Kemosa? So we had four topics that we discussed. Three from the Gemara, one from the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch. Two are from the Gemara, the Daf in Beitza Davavim and Beitza in Zayin and Alf. And Zayin and Alf, the Gemara talks Beitzasi Kimosa with respect to eating Nivla Seif Tohar. Metamia Beisablia, if you swallow Nivla Seif Tohar, it's Metamia. So what if you ate the Beitzim that were found inside the Nivla Seif? When is it Beitzasi Kimosa, so it makes you Tomei? And when it's not Beitzasi Kimosa, it does make you Tomei. Then the Gemara discussed on Vavam and Beis, the topic, if it's Beisosa Kemoisa, then it makes Basa B'cholov. Then the Beis is Fleishig, if Beisosa Lav Kemoisa, it doesn't make Basa B'cholov. Then Tosfos had a Mishnah in Adius, on the beginning of Perikain Adius, where there's a Machlekes B'sham and Misil, what's the din of Beisos Nevela, that Kemoisa Nim Keres Bashuv. I mean, a Beisa with a Klipa Kosher, a regular egg with a whole full shell around it, and you shecht the chicken, it didn't work well. You shecht this hen, it didn't work well. And so the hen is a nevela. What about eating the beitza? Beitzas ha nevela. So Bishamai hold that it's mutu. This is one of the few cases, one of the rare instances where Bishamai is lahakel and Bishamai is lahachman. That's why it's an adius. The mission lists off all the six cases where Bishamai is lahakel and Bishamai is lahachman. So Bishamai hold that they all agree that Beitzas Trefa is Asura. What about Beitzas Nevela? So Bishamai say Beitzas Nevela is Mutta. There's no reason in the world it should be Asa. And they still say that it's Asa. So Tosfos had two Shitas. Tosfos and Beitzas, Rava and Beitzas had two Shitas. Why did Bishamai say that the Beitzas Nevela is Asa? So the first day in Tosfos was that it's because Beitzas Kemosa. It's like Yerechima. So just like the whole hen is a Nevela, so the chicken is a Chelek of the hen. So the chicken has an Issa Nevela also. John talking more on Zayinim and Alham Beitza talks about Tumas Nivlu Seif Tohar. So Tosfos interprets, the first Tosfos is, that according to Beis Hillel, it's an Issa Nevela. There's Tumas Nevela and there's an Issa Achilas Nevela. And then Tosfos had the problem of why is the cutoff point different? When you get to Basa B'cholov, we're Mekel. When you get to Issa eating the Nevela, we're Machmer. When is it called Beitzasa Kemosa? When is it no longer Kemosa? So Tosfos says, in the name of the halacha is Gedal, the difference between a din d'oraisa and a din d'rabban. Fine. Tosfos in the second day said that the shita's beis hillel, that you aser beitzas nevela, is not beitzasa kemosa. No, beitzasa kemosa ended a long time ago. Beitza gemura, whatever that means. Beitza gemura is already not, has a hard shell on it. It's not beitzasa kemosa. It's out of the question. The reason why it's aser, because a xera d'rabban on otu beitzas trefa. Beitzas treifa is a yotzim and al aser aser. So beitzas treifa, al vi pashtus is and he said deraisa. So beitzas nevela is exerot to beitzas treifa. And that's why the Mishnah ends off hakol maidim that beitzas treifa is aser. Why is it mentioned in the Mishnah? Because there for sure it's a yotzim and aser is aser. And the silul shita by beitzas nevela is exera beitzas nevela or to beitzas treifa. So we mentioned yesterday that the Pischei Tshuva has a discussion. Maybe sometimes Beitzas Nevela will be an Issa Deraisa if you have an animal, a hen that's walking around, and it's a Nevela Mechayim. While it's walking around, it's a Nevela Mechayim. So that's in Yerideh Simen Peivov. The title of the Simen is Hilchas Beitzim. Hilchas Beitzim. So it says in Siv Gimel. Simen Peivov, Siv Gimel. Beitzas Nevela Trefa Afilo Nigmura Shekuyetze Banim Keres Bashuk. Asura, even if it has a hot shell, it's Asa. So the Pischei Tshuva says, look at all the Mefarshim, what they quote in the name of the Tosfos, that Beitzas Treifa is Yotzim and Ha'asa Godol B'Yisr is Asa, Beitzas Nevela is Gzeira, the Rabbanon, Otto Beitzas Treifa, but he says, I'm Prima Godim, the Shaila is from those animals that are Nevela Mechayim, so maybe then the Beitzas Nevela is Yotzim and Ha'asa Mederaisa. So he refers you to what he wrote in Sima Lamedal, and he discussed the top, gives you the Marmikamis. So if you look over there, Simon Peivov, Siv Gimel, that's where he discusses it. So yesterday when we were discussing the topic, we had four nafkaminas. When is Beitzos Kimosa, when is not? So one nafkamina was for Tumas Nivelos Eftar, that was the Brice in Beitzah Zainam and Aleph. One was for Basa B'chala purposes, that's a Brice on Daf Vavam Ebeis, and repeated on Zainam and Aleph, and discussed at length and Yeriday, Simon Pei Zain. Then the third nafkamina was when it gave to Beitzas Nevela according to the first Pshat and Tosfos that Beitzas Nevela is Asura according to Beis Hillel because Beitzas Kimosa the Beitzas Kiguf Abbas according to the second day and Tosfos has nothing to do with Beitzas Kimosa because Yetzib and Asur so it's only the Rabban Exera to Beitzas Trefa. Then the fourth Nafkimina we said was when it gave to salting the egg that you have to salt the egg to remove the Damanat. Allah only says that Dam from Basur is Asur. Dam from if a Gemara, a Rambam starts to bleed, mamish the exact same chemical consistency as blood, so that's mutter. Only dam behemachai v'yof is us. So let's say you have an egg. So kozman the egg is mechuba to the shedra, it's mechuba to the spine of the hen, in a way that beitzasu kimosa it's basar. So the blood that's going to be on the egg is going to be dam of an oaf. So dam of an oaf is us manatar. Dam behemachai v'yof is us. Dam dog machagovim is mutter. Dam behemachai v'yof is also, but once the egg is detached from the gufa tanegoil, it's no longer beitzos kimoso. So then, it's not a secret. We know where the dam came from. Originally, the dam was from the oaf. But nonetheless, since that's a natural process and the egg comes out with a little dam, so strictly speaking, that dam is muta. You can eat it with the dam, unless it was an egg that was fertilized and it's the beginning of life. Then it's an isa because ein esrucha. It's an isa because nevela because ein esrucha. But if you know that it's a non-fertilized egg, so then there shouldn't be any problem at all. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, mitam minig, we don't eat it. So the Shulchan Aruch discusses, calls man that the beitza, beitzasa kimosa, the beitzas dina kibasa, ke uber, like a yerech ima, so then you have to salt the beitza to remove the dam, because that's dam off. Once it's no longer beitzasa kimosa, so then if it's not fertilized, then you don't have to worry about it. So the Shulchan Aruch says, the Ramor, that I didn't know where it was yesterday, I started to look, so one of the young men looked it up in Simen Ayin Hei Sif Aleph. Simen Ayin Hei Sif Aleph, there's a long Ramor. So the Ramor says this, that there's room to be machmer because dam of an oaf is an Issa Deraisa. Tosfos said, the first day in Tosfos that we had in Beit Zadavov, and Tosfos had two explanations of Shitas Beis Hillel. Why did Beis Hillel say that the Beitzas Nevela, Fila Kamosan and Keres Bashuk, is Asura Mitam Nevela? So the first day in Tosfos was that since Issa Nevela, I don't know if is an Issa Deraisa, as opposed to Basa B'chav, is only an Issa Derabanan, so there made the Rabbanan were more Machmer than by Basa B'chav. We said Beitzasa Kamosa, even if it's a Beitzah Gemura with the Klipa Kasha, but the whole works. With Machmer, Benegir to Din Deraisa, Benegir to Basa B'chav, by Oph, it's only the Rabbanan. So therefore, we'll make a different, an easier definition of when it beits also kemos. But again, to dim their eyes and their mouth. So the Vilna Gaon says over here on this Ramah, nishtarbev haminig, this minig developed that even if you find a fully a fully developed egg inside a hen with the klipa kasha. You have to crack open the klipa and salt it. Why? What in the world is that all about? He says, Nishtar Bev HaMinig, this minig developed based on the first day in Tesis and Beitz and Davov and Beitz. And Tesis quoted the Halachas Gedoilas. That with respect to Dinam Deraisa Ve Machmer, to say that Kolzman, the egg, is still inside the Guf HaTarnegoilas with the klipa kasha, it's still Beitz Osir Kemoisa. That's how their first Tesis learned. That's how they quote the Halachas Gedoilas, learned the Beis Hillel in the Mishnah and Adias. So here also, b'negiah to the issa da mananoif, that's an issue deraisa. So because it's an issue deraisa, that's why you have to crack open the egg, even if it's a beitza gemura with a klipa kasha, it all works. You have to crack it open and salt it. But you're not allowed to salt it together with the flesh, because the flesh needs belichem and atar. And this is only a chumer midirabbanan. This is clearly only a chumer midirabbanan. So you have to make sure that you salt it separately. That's the ramoy. He says it's a minik. So the Vilna Gaon says, Nishtar Bev HaMinig, this the minig developed based on the first day in Tosis. That's the Halachas Gedolos. Okay, so that's that Ramo is in Simon Ayin Hay Sif Aleph, and it's the Bir Agra Os Vov. Nishtar Bev HaMinig from that Tosis, where Tosis quotes the Halachas Gedolos. So yesterday we were discussing the Gemara in Psochem and Daf Mem Dalon and Beis. The Gemara says in Psochem, really the Gemara here in Chulin. The Gemara discusses whether Tam Ki Iker is the Raisa the Rabbanon, Machlok is Satanoin and the different Mesichtes.
What was the Nevela Mechaim? What is the Nevela Mechaim that we're discussing?
If the whole windpipe is fully cut through and through, all the way through, that's one of the six examples. It says there are six examples of the Nevela Mechaim. You have other animals where it's in Veilam Echam. Different kinds of animals. Rabbi Tedler always quotes that if you have a brain dead person, that's in Veilam Echam. So he quotes this Simon Shulchan Aruch that such a concept exists in Halacha. A person looks like he's alive, and Halacha says that he's dead, even though people think he's alive. So he said there is a concept in Veilam Echam. Maske, there is such a concept.
And how is it different than a Shrifa that's just.
That's what you got to learn in Yoredeya. Mm-hmm. When is it a treif? When is it a Veilam Echam? You may learn part of it, but you're probably not going to learn too much of that. So. Okay.
Rabbi, in Perek Dalet of Machlokes Yisurot, the Rambam quotes the Chazals, and then he distinguishes between Nevela and Treifa, and he says, even though Rabbi just explained this concept, Nevela Echam says Nevela is dead, Treifa is linto.
Not the Lamas.
Not the Lamas. Because of Makia, and that Shadain Lo Mesa. So
he says here you have an Avela Mechaim that's walking around. So how do you distinguish between an Avela Mechaim and a Trefa?
Okay. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Okay, good question. So the Gemara has a Machlokes Hatanoim and a Machlokes Harishonim and a Dion where the Tam Kiker is the Raisa Rabbanon. Tam Kiker means I go to the store and I buy some cake which doesn't have Ashkoche. And it has non-kosher ingredients, but Vados has non-kosher ingredients. But the non-kosher ingredients doesn't constitute more than 50%. So Mikra then I should really say it's bottle bereiv. So the reason why I don't say bittle bereiv is because the non-kosher ingredient is nice and tam. When I eat it, it tastes better because of that non-kosher. It has chazashmaltz in it, so I can taste the flavor of the chazashmaltz. That's called tam, is kiyika. They tell a story that Rabbi Kivega was once giving a Shabbos HaGadol pilpul. A Shabbos HaGadol, Shabbos Shuvah, the Rabbanim used to give a whole pilpul. Rabbi Kivega was a rabbi in Germany. Yeah, he was talking to Yekis. I didn't understand what he was talking. He gave a whole pilpul, gave a whole maracha. He has a lot of his marachas, I printed. Even if he didn't have big Talmid HaChacham, they wouldn't have understood what he was talking. So that year he gave a whole pilpul on Tam Ki Iker. So everybody fell asleep except for one balabas. So after, that's how the story goes. So after he finished the whole pilpul, he walked over to the balabas and he gave him a yashikoyach. He thanked him that he stayed awake and he was paying attention the whole time. He said, Rebbe, he enjoyed the shiur very much. He understood everything. He just has one question. He wants to know, what does the loaf of bread taste like? The tam kiker. Rebbe Kivega kept on talking about tam kiker. He didn't know, what does the loaf of bread taste like already after all? He didn't know b'chla what the words were. I remember once Rav Soloveitchi used to give a yortzai drasha. And Gimel Shvat, he had yartzai for his father. His mother died 50 years after the father. So then he used to get a little shiur on the mother's yartzai. He wasn't up to giving a big shiur. He said, Mikra Adin, it's really a violation of Kibbut Aviyei. If you only give a yartzai shiur in honor of your father, you don't give an honor to the mother. The din is you have to show honor to both parents equally. So he says he's barely able, he was already an old man falling apart when his mother died, so he wasn't able to give the both. So he said his mother should forgive him. So he just used to learn Mishnayos in the yeshiva. So remember, many people will come, hundreds of people will come, Balabatim will come to hear the Yotzei Drosh. So he delivered the Yotzei Drosh, so a lot of people were so enthused, they loved it so much, and one Balabas came to the yeshiva the next day. So the next day, we were learning Sanhedrin in the yeshiva then. The next day, Rav Soloveitchik started the Perek Zebayr, the third Perek in Masechet Zebayr. So he kept on using the expression Zablo. Zablo is a Rosh Yateva, Zebayr lo yechon. Zayin beis lamed al, Zebayr lo yechon. Kept on talking about Zablo, Zablo, is it a Din D'oraisa, is it a Din D'rabbanan, and Tosfos Sheet, and the Rosh, and all the different svaras. So after the 2 hour shiur was up, this Balabas, who was so enthused from the night before, who came specially the next morning to hear the shiur, so he screamed out, the Mazal Rav Soloveitchik didn't hear. So he screamed out in Yiddish, Rebbe, the shiur was outstanding, he loved it so much, he has one question, what does Zablo mean? He didn't understand the term, he didn't get the first base. There's nothing to discuss. So tam ki iker is a din that if you eat kosher food that has a treifa flavor in it, that's less than 50%. But it's nice and tam, you can taste the flavor of the treifas. So that's osur. Ki iker, it's osur just like if you would be eating a piece of chazer itself. So tam ki iker is also osur. So that's a machlekes hatanoim and a machlekes avishanim, whether that's an isa derais and isa rabban. We read yesterday, what's a din if you have a tarubis, a min mishen amina, a tam kikir case, and you're not sure, have cake or cookies. I'm not sure whether they use kosher fat or non-kosher fat. So that's a suffix deraisa lechumer. If you would have tasked like Rashi, that the whole din of tam kikir is only derabbanan, then you should have said that suffix derabbanan lekula. We don't pass like Rashi, we pass like Tosfos, that the din of tam kikir is an isa deraisa. So one of the sources, the big sugyas are in Psochim, in the middle of Psochim. Where was it? Memdalet. We were looking at Memdalet yesterday, and in the middle of Nazir, and Avodah Zarah, big sugyas of Tam Kikir. And a little bit of a discussion, you have Abai Berov, and Kuf Ches Amid Aleph. The Abai says, I'm going to prove that Tam Kikir is the rice from the whole institution of Basa B'cholav. How do you ever have Basa B'cholav? You cook the flesh with a little bit of milk, you pour in. You don't pour in 50-50. You don't have matzah flesh and matzah milk. You have a little bit of milk you pour in, a little bit of butter you mix in together with the flesh. So why don't you say that it's batel beraisef? And the fact that you have an institution, a basa b'cholav, and it's only one chance in 5 billion that it's going to be 50-50. It's never going to happen like that. So you see that tam, the nesinas tam of the butter or the milk into the flesh is considered as if the milk is still bien, and therefore you have your tam kik.
What's the raya? The
issue
is gebuyt on the fact that one taste went into the other. Who told that?
The Mishnah says like, the Mishnah says when you cook, you pour a little bit of milk into flesh, if you can't taste the milk, then it's mutter. It's only us that you can taste the milk. So what does it help if you taste the milk? But the milk should already be bottled beraid. The milk is less than 50%, or the flesh is going to be less than 50%. It's rare, it's highly improbable that it's going to be 50-50. So whichever is less than 50% should be bakul beroy. So from the fact that the Mishnah says that that's what basa b'cholav is all about.
You have an issa bishul sometimes without an issa achila, so you see that it's not because tam is true.
You have an issa bishul.
Issa bishul by also the bashul, but it's muta b'achila because ain issa chaval issa. Well, you see it could be an issa bishul without an issa achila.
So that's what we said yesterday, that Rabbi Kivega says the Issa Bishul only is not to create a Chepta of Basa B'cholav. That seems to be the whole thrust of the Gemara of Masechet Baldehim. So we said it has to be based on the cover of Ben Hashem Gemurim. You have to say that Ein Issa Chal Al Issa only means Benegeh to Anshim, but it really is Chal. Bottom line, it is Chal a little bit. It's not Chal Gamri, you have to say like that. So that's what Abai proves from this Mishnah, the fact that that every case of Basa B'cholav, you have a little bit of milk and it succeeds in giving a flavor, a milchic flavor into the flesh, and it makes it Basa B'cholav, but it's less than 50%. So why don't you say the milk is bottled, so there ain't no Basa B'cholav. Basa B'cholav doesn't exist over here. The milk is Kemisheino. So you see the milk is not Kemisheino, because since it's nice and tam, so tam ki iker, it's considered like you have not only flesh, which is the roiv, You have 99% flesh and 1% would be bottled by mayor. You have 98% flesh and 2% milk. Okay, so you only have 50 against the 2%, so it's not bottled by roy. Okay, so that's a Abai's proof. And Rava says that it's not a proof. Okay. So this, and that's what Rashi claims, that whenever you have a machlekes about Rava, we always pass like Rava, except for Yalkagam. So we should pass like Rava. Rava means to say that Tankikal of the Raisa. And Taisus is Masig and Rashi. No, Rava's only Ding Ezek with the Hechacha from here. There are other sources. You look in the other Masichtas, in Avodah Zarah, and in Nazir, and in Psoch, and there are other sources to indicate the Tankik of the Raisa. Rava never meant to disagree with Abaye in principle. He's only disagreeing about the Chuya B'Alma, who Taisus says. He's Dechem, the Mehocha Lekal Amela, but you can learn it from another source. Fine. So the Gemara has a Loshen in Psochem Daf Mem Dalon Amad Beis. That's what we were discussing yesterday, that Gemara. Gemara has a Loshen elaborating on Abaye's argument. We have a rule, you learn out that you have to hold the Lulav and Esrik up, you have to hold the Pitam up and the Lulav up from the Pasuk by the Atzi Shittim Omnim, from the Pasuk from the Mishkan. What does the Mishkan got to do with the Lulav and the Esrik? The Gemara says, no, whenever you have a din written in any one of the Taryag Mitzvahs, we assume we have a right to say Mamatzino. We assume that all the Dina HaTorah fit into one big pattern, and it's you learn out Midin Echad Lachaveiro. Not only do you learn that Mineya Beit to figure out the details of this parish, you have a right to learn Midin Echad Lachaveiro. There's a Tshuva in the Shagas Arech HaDoshes where he talks about this, that all the Dina HaTorah fit into one big pattern, and there's such a thing as learning a Kal V'chemer Mamatzino Mineya Beit, and Kal V'chemer Mamatzino Midin Echad Lachaveiro. So an exception to the rule would be if this parsha is a chiddush. Chiddush means, Tosafos writes in the first parak in Yevamos, Dav Zayin Manal, chiddush means davar asoisos haklal. Something is clearly an exception to the rule. So mechiddush le'afina, I see that this parsha doesn't fit into the pattern. It stands out like a sore thumb. There's something over here that contradicts kol haTorah kula. So even if there are 1,001 dinim here, one of the 1,001 dinim is a chiddush, he can't learn out from the other 1,000 dinim. Maybe everything is also a chiddush. So that's what Tosis points out in Sanhedrin on the Kov Zayin Omud Aleph. Tosis there talking about Eitzamim Mikanal Lahabu Nipsal and Mafreu Nipsal. So Tosis says, you see from this Gemara a klal, that if you have a parsha Basa B'cholav and there's one din lahokel, that's a chiddush. Basa B'cholav has a din lahokel that you don't say the Gemara says, "Itor lekuli yom bechelva shari." By all other treifas, there's a din of kavish kemevushal. If kosher food is soaking in treif of liquid, or kosher liquid is soaking together with treif of food, so if it soaks long enough, kuli yom all day long, so then you say kavish kemevushal. And by basa b'chalav, you don't say kavish kemevushal. It means basa b'chalav has a kula. You have a parasha basa b'chalav has 1,001 dinim, maybe more. And one of those dinim is clearly a chiddush, a dabar asoisos haklal. It's an exception to the rule that kavish kemevushal, which is a rule in kol haTorah kula, doesn't apply over here. But that's a chiddush lahakel. So therefore, even a din that says in basa b'chalav lahachmir, the hainu, that you say tam ki ikir, you should have said it's batel b'roi. You should have said the milk is less than, clearly less than 50%. So you should have said it's kemisha eino. So you don't say that. If you say kemisha eino, so the basa b'chol doesn't get off the ground. So even that din, that's lahachmir, you also can't learn out to call a tarkula. Maybe that din by basa b'chol is also a chiddush. If there's one din that's a chiddush, maybe the other 1,000 dinim are also a chiddush. So Tosis points out, you see from the parsha of, that's the Tosis in Sanhedrin, Chav Zayin Omer Aleph, Ibn Masra, the Asida Bey, Trey Bechad, and Trey Bechad. So Tosis says, just like by Basa Becholov, that if you have, excuse me, the wrong Tosis, Ein Lech Bo'el Chidusha, the Tosis right before that. Chav Zayin Omer Aleph in Sanhedrin, Ein Lech Bo'el Chidusha. Tosis says, just like it says, Dola Yafinan Tam Ki Kami Basa Becholom Shindika Bechidish Behar Teiro, because it has one chiddush lahakel, so even a din lahachmir and basa b'chalav, also you can't learn out to call a terkuv. That's how Tosis read the Gemara. That's the pashup shot in the Gemara. Problem is that there's another Gemara fakir. There's another Gemara that says if you have a parsha that has 1,001 dinim, and one din is a chiddush lahakel, so you can't learn out lahachmir. You can't learn out anything else lahakel, but you can learn out lahachmir. So that's a problem. But this is the way Tosis read the Gemara. The Gemara says that Kavish Kemevushal by Basa B'chalav is not Minat Torah. And Masha'eni came by Shari Surim, Kavish Kemevushal would be an Isa Deraisa. So yesterday we were discussing a little bit how long is Kavish Kemevushal. So the Bessos had quoted the three opinions, one opinion 12 hours, one opinion 24 hours, one opinion 72 hours. Where did they get 72 hours? Because the Gemara says, if you have barrels that were balea stam yenom alidei kavush, so then to kasha them, so you have to soak them in water for 72 hours. So because kibola kach polter, so the Rishonim assume that kibola kach polter shows that in order to have kavush kemavushal, in order to make something treif alidei kavush, it has to soak for 72 hours. That's why you say kibola kach polter. So we said that's, we don't paskin like that at all, because it's against this Gemara Pesachim Daf Mem Dalamez. Gemara says it totally kuli yonda b'chalva, soaks all day long. So I went just now to check in the Digduke Sofrim. Is there any other girsa? And lo and behold, he doesn't have any other girsa. Maybe there's another girsa that says he torah klosa yoyme b'chalva. He doesn't quote any other girsa. Okay, we got to research some more. How did the Rishonim say that Kavish Kemilushal needs 72 hours? What do you do with the Gemara Telek Kuli Yoyme b'chalva? I don't know. It's a problem. So it says we reject that opinion. So we paskin kula yama. What's kula yama? So they say it's close to opinions. One opinion is 12 hours, kula yama, all day long is 12 hours. The other opinion is no, all day long means a calendaric day. Calendaric day is 24 hours. That's how we paskin. Middle of the road shita, centrist orthodoxy. Centrist orthodoxy. There are three shitas with 12 hours, 24 hours, or 72 hours. So the Beis Yosef is a centrist and he says 24 hours is kavish kemavush. Okay. So why do you have to soak it for 72 hours to make it kosher? Why don't you say kibbalah kach polter? So we said no. Kibbalah kach polter just determines which form of kosherization you need. Do you need hagolah? Do you need lima? Do you need mili v'yiroi? But it doesn't determine all the details of the case. You need mili v'yiroi is sufficient. But how do you do mili v'yiroi? That has its rules and regulations. In order to get the treifa bli out of the barrels, you have to have mili v'yiroi for 72 hours. But kavish kemavushal will be less than that. And that's what we said. Let's say you have a broiler and you broiled over, you used it to broil treifas, and the treifas was never 950 degrees. The treifas was never higher than 600 degrees. The halacha says, ruba, the ruba of the paskim asum, you still have to do a libun chomer of 950 degrees in order to get the treifa bli out. We say kabbalah kapot just determines which form of kosherization you need. But once you establish which form, that has no rules and regulations. How you have to do the kashering, it's not always the same kibbalah kach polter. In Shulchan Aruch they have in Hilchas Pesach, you have all the laws of Hagolah and Libun appear in Hilchas Pesach. Then in Yeridei, the beginning of the second Chelek, there's a brief siman that says, you want to know the dinim of Hagolah and Libun, look in Hilchas Pesach, everything's explained there. They don't repeat it. So in Hilchas Pesach, in the Shulchan Aruch, they write, what if something became treif like the irui? Let's say I have a fleshik pot, and it became treif because I took burning hot milk and I poured it on the fleshik pot. Or let's say I have a fleshik knife and I made it milchik by pouring burning hot milk on top of it. So it didn't become treif al gabi ha'esh if by mistake I took a milchik spoon and I'm stirring the fleshik chicken in the pot. So then I have to have hagola there. I have to have Hagolah. Hagolah has to be in a Kli Rishon with Malaba boys. Hagolah has to be 212 degrees. Malah Resich is 212 degrees. But if the whole thing only became treif, the whole believe was only a day irui, so then you can do the Hagolah a day irui. That's what a lot of times people make a mistake. They use the milchik sponge to wash a fleshik knife, or they use a fleshik sponge to wash the milchik knife, and it's burning hot water, so it's yatzaler. So they're afraid that maybe there was some fleshik schmaltz in the sponge, maybe there was some milchik cheese in the milchik sponge, so maybe they just made basa b'cholov. So maybe they did. So the worst the basa b'cholov was hagadei yui. How did it become treif? How did the knife become treif? Under the burning hot water. So the minig is that you always wait. We'll have to figure out why. We'll have to learn some more Gemara. You always wait 24 hours before you kasher anything like Dei HaGolah. So you take your knife that may or may not be treif, take a treif and knife, and you wait 24 hours. After 24 hours, you don't have to cook up water on top of the fire and put it in on a whole procedure. Turn on the burning hot water. If the whole bliya was Ayi Dei Yiru, so it says in Shulchan Aruch, you can do HaGolah Ayi Dei Yiru. So we really have four forms. We say Kibbalah Kach Polter, there are four forms. There's either HaGolah, Libun, Amila v'Irui, that we know about, and then if it's Irui, if it only became treif by pouring burning hot liquid on top of it, then you don't really need Hagola al Gabi Hoesh with Mala Resicha, all you need is to pour burning hot water. when you're pouring burning hot water, so by definition it's not going to be 212 degrees. When you pour it, so it's going to be at least 10 degrees less than that, maybe 20 degrees. When you start pouring, it's much less than that. So that obviously the Chazanish points out that obviously when you're going to do a Hagolah by Irui, you don't require Mali Resicha. So how high does the water have to be? So you have to chop on a number lower than 212. The body temperature is 98, 99. Has to be something more than the body temperature. Can't be 100 degrees. So what's something between 100 degrees and 212? We'll make up Shara. What are you going to say? 150 degrees. So the Chazanish thinks Yatzoledes. He thinks Yatzoledes. Whenever you have something that you have to kasher, Ayde Irui, for whatever reason, by hook or by crook, we paskin at the dinners, you kasher it Ayde Irui. So he says, Irui, by definition, is not going to be Mala Resich. It's not going to be 212. So he thinks the next degree temperature after Irui, Alpidin, is Yatzoledes. So that's a question. How high is Yatzoledes? So we're machmir. We'll have to learn. We didn't get to that gemara yet on Daf Chesed and Beis. The Shmir Shabbos class says based on the gemara, 114 degrees. We'll have to get that. It's a little bit humorous. Here we're machmir. The kashrus organizations in America are machmir 120 degrees, but really that's a big chumrah. Migra din, it really should be something much higher than 120 degrees. Ramosha Feinstein discusses in one of his tshuvas what's called Yatzoledes bo. He's talking about the din, if a nochri handles kosher wine, so he makes a treif. If a nochri manufactures wine, that's a nisa mishum b'nei sehem. The Gemara said, you're not allowed to drink wine manufactured by a nochri, because it may lead to intermarriage. I may enjoy the wine so much, I want to marry his daughter in order to always, he'll wine and dine me, and I'll have wine, the elam vod. So, stam yen that was manufactured by a nochri is us. What if the wine was manufactured by Mr. Kerem? By Mr. Herzog, who owns Kerem? So, and the guy is pouring the wine. So I'm going to marry the guy's daughter because Mr. Kerem's wine is delicious. I'll marry Mr. Kerem's daughter. I'll marry Herzog's daughter. Why should I marry the guy's daughter just because he's pouring the wine? So if the guy pours the Yiddish wine, then it's only us and Mishum Chashash Niso. Maybe the Nochri had Kavana Lenasech. So the Gemara says if that's the situation, that the Nochri handled kosher wine, and there's a concern maybe he had the intention to be Menasech, so we know the din of the Beis HaMikdash is that Yayim Mevushal, you're not allowed to use Lenasach HaGabi HaMizbech. Like Dam Mevushal, if you zorek the Dam of the Karbonis, and you cook the Dam, or you shech the Behem, you take the Dam, you decide to cook it before you do the Zrika on the Mizbech. So the Gemara says you won't be Yotze the Mitzvah. If you zorek Dam Mevushal, you're not Yotze. If you have Yayim Mevushal and you use it for Nisach HaYayin, you're not Yotze. And same thing, let's say you take the certain parts of the animal, the chelu, has to be burnt on the mizbech, the haktor semurim, or a karbonot, you have to burn the whole thing, all the evarim also. So what if you cook the flesh before you burn it on the mizbech? So the Gemara says you're not yotze. It has to be reach nichoyach. Reach nichoyach means that you're burning it raw. If it's mevushal, you're not yotze. So all three, on the dam, it has to be dam shaloi bishloi, otherwise you're not yotze with the zrika. So dam, the yayin has to be yayin shaloi bishloi, otherwise you're not yotze nisach hayayin. And the flesh that you maktir on the mizbech by an oily makter all the emurim, all the evarim, and by regular carbon which you eat, you only makter the emurim, only the chaler, has to be built in mevushal.
If you go in some stores to sell kosher wine, they have an Easter special because the churches like to use kosher wine for whatever reason. Does the fact that they are now doing communion with the goyim are now using kosher wine, kosher mevushal wine to for communion, change this assumption that
Yayin
can't become
Yayin Nesef? Rabbi Feinstein assumes that the din is still the same. And the many Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael think that the din no longer applies. The Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael think that this din is should no longer, this kula doesn't apply anymore. So we still live in America, so we rely on Hagoyim HaTzadik HaMoshe. He thinks that Yayin Mevushal, if a Nochri handles it, still doesn't make any sense. Because since in the days of the Talmud, when they made this Gzeira, so the Gemara says that Yayim Mevushal, in the days of the Gemara, the Nochrim didn't use it for their religious rituals, and therefore there's no Gzeira. So we still follow the Kula.
They're not doing this on
unless you have a real concern that they were really Menasech it. But if it's just, Tosis says, we mentioned yesterday, the other day, Tosis writes in Avodah Zarah, Chof Tesem and Beis, if there would only be, if there wouldn't be the concern of B'nai Seyim that it may lead to intermarriage just because of the concern of Nisach, that's so far-fetched, they will never have prohibited the stam yena. But the prohibition was because it may lead to intermarriage mishum b'nei seim, and that was the same reason why they prohibited pasakim and bishalakim, because it may lead to intermarriage. So once they prohibited it, so then they slapped down also on top of it the icing on top of the cake. They said not only also b'shtia, it's also b'hano, also maybe he was menasachet, but mishum nisach alon they will never have been gozer. So here, if the akum does maga b'yena shel Yisrael, there is no b'nei seim there. I'm not going to marry his daughter because he pours the wine. I'm going to marry the daughter, or I may want to marry the daughter of the one who manufactures the wine, not the guy who pours, not the waiter who pours the wine. So the only chashash is mishum nisuch. But still, it's really a far-fetched chashash. So whatever in the days of the Gemara they did nasa, so we assume it's mutter. That's what we assume. So the shaila is how much do you have to cook the wine that it should be considered yayim avushol. So there shouldn't be a nisar of maga akum, that you don't have to be concerned about chashash nisar. So kerem wine has the hashgacha for many years of the tzelem arav. Tzelem arav passed away already, so his stepson gives the hashgacha. He's known as the tzelem arav. So they follow the opinion that in order to be considered yayim avushol, you have to heat it till 212, till it starts to evaporate. Hashem ismait, till it starts to evaporate. So they have on half of their bottles, say, Mavushal, and half of the bottle say Eina Mavushal. Ramosha Feinstein says that it's not correct. He says you look in the Rishonim and the Orzarua raises the question, how long, to what degree temperature do you have to heat the wine that it should be considered Yai Mavushal, that Magak Mud Nasser? Maybe it's enough if you just made it lukewarm. Maybe I should say Hefshero Zehu Bishulo. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos and Kiran Daf Mem has a discussion on Shabbos. How hot do you have to heat the water in order to violate the Isad Bishul on Shabbos? How hot do you have to heat oil in order to violate Bishul on oil on Shabbos? The Gemara has one ton of things, have Shero, Zel Bishul, that when you make it lukewarm, and we don't paskin like that. We paskin posherim is not enough, lukewarm is not enough. You have to heat it till the point of Yatzalet is more. So the Ozeruah had a suffix, maybe it could be Mekel if the Nochri does Maga Akum on Yen Yisrael that was only heated till it became lukewarm. Maybe I should say Hefshero Zehu Bishulo, and it's already called Yayim Avushal. So he comes to the conclusion we should be Machmir, and that is the rule quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that you shouldn't be Mekel just on Poshrim. You have to heat the wine till the point of Yatzaledus. But to heat the wine till 212 degrees, Man Charshmei, Ramosha Tainus, whoever came up with such an idea? That's a misunderstanding of the Shach. The Shulchan Aruch and the Shach talk about the heat the wine till it's mismayed, so they took it seriously, they took it literally. He says, no, you're looking at the Mishnah where the source of the whole din is the Beferish. You don't have to heat it till it starts to evaporate till 212. You just have to heat it till you know for sure it's Yatzaledus. How much is Yatzaledus? Here, the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chos says, Machmed at 114 degrees is Yatzaledus. He wouldn't say that L'Hokel. If you heat up the wine till 114 degrees and then you have Maga Akum, that's called Yayim Avushal, he wouldn't say that. So yeah, or let's say we are machmer in America. We are machmer the kashrus organizations. Anything past 120, that's lahachmer. We say 120 is yatzoledus. We wouldn't say lahokel. Rav Soloveitchik thought that the yatzoledus is somewhere between 140 and 160. So if you want to know what's yayin mevushal, so you should have at least 160. So Moshe Feinstein discusses that. How hot do you have to heat the wine? You don't have to heat it till 212. How hot does it have to be that you should know for sure that it is Yatzoledus? So he's not sure. He says maybe 100 kuf samachay, maybe 165. Maybe he writes, one place he writes 185. Ooh, 185 is Yad Nichvis bo. That's way more than Yatzoledus bo. So that this is stira in the Tshuvas of Ramosh. How hot do you have to heat the wine that it should be considered Yayim Avushal? So it's usually assumed something like 175. 175. That's called Yatzaledus. So that's what the Chazon Ish writes in one place. If you have a trefa kli that you want to do hagola on, and the halacha established that this hagola doesn't need hagola b'roischim agabi hoesh, it's enough with irui. So he says when you're doing irui, a burning hot water, by definition, when the water is going to fall on the trefa knife, it's not going to be malarisich anymore. Flying in the air, it loses a lot of temperature. So he thinks the next halachic temperature degree that we recognize, see, Yad Dichvis is a Chumr Dikit. There's something in between Yatzaledus and Mala Resicha. Yatzaledus, we said, Ramosh says, let's say 175. That's Lechumr. We say Lechumr 120. We say Lechumr 175. Kufain Hey, 175. But there's something above 175 That's called Yad Nechves. Yad Nechves, that's a din midirabban. That's not al pi din. Yad Nechves doesn't play a role. Yad Nechves is a din. The Rambam quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that you're not allowed to eat tevel. There's a din you're not allowed to eat tevel. But tevel is only if it had miruach and riyas pnei abayis. What if it didn't have the miruach and the riyas pnei abayis? So then it's not yet tevel. So the Tanoi made a gzera de rabbanon that even if it didn't have the riyas pnei abayis, if you eat it achilas keva, then it's awesome. What's haist achilas keva? You eat a ton of it. The guy sits and he eats tevel. He eats a ton of the tevel. If he's walking by the tree and he plucks off an apple and he eats it, that's achilas aroi. So you don't need hafrashas trumas and maasas. Achilas aroi. Let's say the guy keeps on plucking off. He keeps on plucking off one fruit and another fruit. He ate a ton of fruit. He's stuffed. He ate so much. So if he eats achilas keva, that's awesome. In the rabbanon with tevel, so you need hafrashas trumas and maasas. So what constitutes achilas keva? So one kind of achilas keva, you eat so much that you're absolutely full. What if you only eat a nash? You only have a tiny snack. There's certain cases where it's still called achilas keva. So what are those things midirabbanan? So what are the things that are koveya? So one gemara says Shabbos koveya. Whatever you snack on Shabbos is called achilas keva, because the pasuk says v'karasa l'Shabbos oineg. So whatever you eat on Shabbos has a chashivas and it's called achilas keva. So that's a chumra midirabbanan. Then mekach koveya. If I bought the food, I bought the tevel from somebody else. So the Mishnah said that mekach is koveya. What else is koveya? Bishul. Bishul is koveya. If I cooked it, so that's called, even if I only eat a little bit, that's called achilas keva. Melach is koveya. If I salt it in order to enhance the flavor, so melach is koveya. So the Rambam quotes details from the Talmud Yerushalmi. What if I cook the tevel in a klisheni? So we paskin klisheni is not mevashel, so it's not called achilas keva. What if I cooked it in a klisheni, but the klisheni was yad nichvis bo? It wasn't just stam yatzel letters bo. It was even higher than that. It was yad nichvis bo. So then the Rambam quotes the Yerushalmi. If it's yad nichvis, then there's even bishul b'klisheni. So that's the din that the Chaye Yodam quoted from the Rambam in Hilchas Trumas. He quotes it in Hilchas Shabbos that if you have a klisheni, what's the chumah that you're not allowed to put a tea bag into a cup of tea? You take a kettle, you pour water into a cup, so the water in the cup is a klisheni. The water in the kettle was a klivishi. You pour into the cup, it's a klisheni. So what's wrong if you put the tea bag in? If you take a tea bag and you put it into the kettle, so that's bishul in a klivishon, on the assumption that there's bishul on a tea bag. You have to figure out whether there is or there isn't bishul on a tea bag. So if you put a tea bag into the kettle, that's bishul in a klivishon. Once you pour it into a klisheni, so doesn't the Mishnah say that there's no bishul b'klisheni if it's only tavlin? So what's the problem? So the Mishnah Brura quotes from the Chaye Yodam that since the Rambam writes that there's, from the Yerushalmi, that there's bishul b'klisheni if it's yad nichlis bo, so the water that you pour from the kettle often is so scalding hot, it's so burning hot, it's much higher than yatzo lettuce. It's yad nichlis bo. So yad nichlis bo, there is bishul afilu b'klisheni. But that's what the Chaye Yodam himself writes. He doesn't think that it's really a tushdel. He doesn't think that it's a good mocker, because by eating tevel, there are a whole bunch of things that are kaveh. Shabbos is kaveh. Mekach is kaveh if you buy it. And melech is kaveh if you salt it. So true bishul is only kaveh bikli rishon, klisheni not. But there's so many other things that are kaveh. So if you do bishul biklisheni, yad nichvis is another kaveh. It's also kaveh. But in Hilchus Shabbos, there are 39 malachas. The malacha bishul is only if it's bishul. If the rule says it's not bishul b'klisheni, where do you come off to say that if you had yad nichvis in a klisheni, that it would be bishul? The Pashto says that it's not a good sushta. So the Chaye Yodam himself writes like that. And the Chazanish also writes like that. Nikra din, the whole thing is really a chumra. The whole reason why people don't put the tea bag into the cup of water is because of the chumra of the Chaye Yodam, that the Chaye Yodam himself says is probably not correct. The whole thing is a chumra. So there you have to determine, you have a nushir, you have nichris, you have yad soledis, and then you have malarisicha, and then you have yad nichris. So yad nichris is something higher than yad soledis. So if Rav Moshe claims that yad soledis, we're not sure what's yad soledis. So lahachmer, we go all the way till 120. But lahokel, we're not going to say 120 lahokel. So Rav Moshe says lahokel 175, let's say. One place writes 185, so it's usually assumed 175. And something above that, maybe 185, 190 or something, it's not going to be Malar Isicha. 212 is already Malar Isicha. But that Shira, Yad Nechves, but that's only Chumre Beneget Shabbos, Beneget Achilas Keva and Tevel. That's not a real Shira Deraisa. That's a Chumre Medrabbanan. So when the Chazanish says, when you're doing kashering, when you're kashering something like the Irui, he says, by definition, it's not going to be Malar Risicha. Once you're pouring it, it loses the temperature. By the time it hits on the knife, it hits on the thing, it's not going to be 212. So it has to be some Shir Alpidin lower than 212. So what is it going to say? Yad Dichvizbo. Yad Nichvizbo is an invention with the Rabbanon. Then I get Achilas Keva by Tevel. It's not going to be Yad Nichvizbo. He says he thinks the Shir is Yad Tzoledizbo. Has to be above Yad Tzoledizbo. So this is relevant. Let's say someone by mistake made a piece of silverware, made a knife tray by holding it under the burning hot water. If he's just washing off with cold water, so there's no bliya b'tzoinin. If you're washing off with burning hot water, that's yad tzoledes bo. That's above 120 degrees. So if you're using a milchik sponge with a flasic knife, or using a flasic sponge with a milchik knife, so maybe the cheese went in and made a bliya. If it's a yad tzoledes, it may have made a bliya. So the way to kasher it, you don't have to wait till Erev Pesach and bring it to shul and do the whole hagolah in the burning hot pot of water. Just wait 24 hours. Hold it under the burning hot faucet of water. Make sure that the water is yad tzoledes, because the whole bliya was only ayidei iruah. So the hagolah has to be ayidei iruah. Hagolah ayidei iruah. So the Chazanish says all you need is yad tzoledes. You don't need malar risich. Just make sure that it's very hot, burning hot water. Couple of seconds. Not too long. When you have a tray for knife and you put it into the burning hot water to make it kosher, how long do you have to hold that under the burning hot water? A couple of seconds. Here also, you hold it a couple of seconds. We mentioned yesterday, if you have the tray for barrels that became tray because they had stam yenom, or they became tray because of chametz, they became fleishig or milchi, if they really became tray because of chazal shmaltz, then the meal of the year of the gimel yamim doesn't help. That's what the Shach points out in the second chelik yeridaya. In Hilchas Hechsher Klei Hayayim, the whole din of Milu V'Yiru Gimel Yomim, if you soak it for 72 hours, keep on changing the water every 24 hours, only works if it was a terrible, either because Stam Yenim is Kal, we have a lot of coolness in Stam Yenim, it's only the Rabbanon, or Chometz Kodem HaPesach when Mekel, that's the Yerushalmi that you can allow Milu V'Yiru Gimel Yomim, or if you have a terrible, let's say you had a truck, was transporting milk from one place to the other, then I want to put oil in the same truck, and everything is going to be room temperature. Nothing is going to be burning hot. So the whole bliya is only ayidei kovish, bliya ayidei tzeinin. So then milu v'yiru gimel yamim would help if it's a heterah bola. For those who are concerned about cholav akum, so it's isura bola. Okay? Those who don't drink cholav akum is isura bola. But those who follow Rav Moshe, that mi'ikar adin cholav companies is muta, it's not cholav akum, so then the milk is a heterah bola. So then you would be allowed to kasha the truck. In order to put in a power of the product, you would permit them to kasher the truck. Adai miru gimayam. Meshuga dafnizai. The company should incapacitate their truck for 72 hours for 3 days. They want to make money, so they're going to do a hagola. So that's at Meshulchan Aruch. They're machlokes, and we paskin if milu yiru is good, so hagola is also good, even on the klicheres. Even if it's earthenware, and normally Hagolah doesn't work, so it says, if Milu V'Yiru would have been good, so even Hagolah is also good, and that's the accepted opinion. So Tosfos in Avodah Zarah quotes the Rabbeinu Tam that when you have a barrel that's treif, and you want to kasher it, and theoretically you could have kashered by Milu V'Yiru Gimel Yomim, so, and we not only are we making that Hagolah would be good, even in the Klicheres, you don't even need Hagola Beroischem, you can do Hagola Ayide Irui by pouring burning hot water. That's what Tosis quotes the Rabbeinu Tam and Maseches Avodah Zarah. Then the Rabbeinu Tam has a kula on top of that kula, a kula agabi kula, and he says, not only is it good if you do Hagola Ayide Irui, let's say have a barrel and all around it's strafe. So I don't have to keep on, let's say I have a hose that's shooting out burning hot water. I don't have to hose down every inch of the barrel with iri like this. He says, if you hose burning hot water, how hot does burning hot water have to be? So the Chazanish said, Yad Tzoledes. Yad Tzoledes with Machmel Chumer 175. Okay? let's have a hose, and on the other, water coming out is 175 degrees, more than 175. So Rabbi Ben Tam says you can kasha the tray for barrels with the stam yenam, ayidei hagola shel irui. So then the Rabbi Ben Tam says a step further. Not only hagola the irui would be good, even if you shoot burning hot water in, and then you stop shooting the water, then you roll the barrel. To roll the barrel. Roll the barrel, that's already clichény. When the burning hot water is shooting on the barrel and you shoot every inch of the barrel, okay, and you hold it a couple of seconds till the tray for blia comes out, so that we can understand. Then the Rabbi Ben Tam says, you pour burning hot water on part of the barrel, and then you roll the barrel around, and roll it around, and it'll have a hagolah. So Tosis is not happy with that Rabbi Ben Tam. That's not even Iri, that's less than Iri. So in Shulchan Aruch they quote, L'chatchili, you shouldn't follow that Rabbi Ben Tam, the second one, but B'dievet will believe in the Mekel on that. But if you do, like the original Rabbi Ben Tam said, if you do Irui, Mamish Irui, you have a hose that's burning hot water, and the burning hot water is doesn't have to be Mala Resicha. Obviously, if it's Irui, it can't be Mala Resicha, so it just has to be Yatza Ledes. So then that's even good L'chatchili. We would pass on that, that is good. That's a Tosis. Yeah.
What can we do today about this? A lot of wine that's manufactured by kosher companies.
Yeah.
It has a heksher. So what is the mile of bishul then? Bishul only takes off the kshash of the. They still have nice sand, exactly the same, right?
No, the Jewish, the mashgichim take over the whole factory and they push all the buttons. They do everything. When they make kosher wine under supervision, so they make sure that the squeezing out of the grapes, everything is done by the mashgiach. Everything is done by the Jews.
It's not totally the ownership of the company who's making the wine.
No.
Like saying, I'm not going to marry the mashgiach's daughter, I'm going to marry the owner of the
No. That's the wine. We had, last year we learned Gittin. So Tosis in Gittin discusses Halakeach Yaim Ben Akusin and the Sugya Brera. In the third, what is it? The second parable, third parable. So Tosis says the Kasha, but there's a Pirkei de Rav Lezer that says you're not allowed to drink Yayin of Kusim. So how can it be Halakeach Yaim Ben Akusin? So Tosis says it's talking about Mitar Yeno Shel Akusin. That they have a Jewish Mashgiach who is watching when they made the wine for the Kusim. But the one who made the wine was not the Kusim. If you have a Jew making the wine and now it belongs to the guy, that's not called the Yenakum. Yeah, Matar Yenushal Nachri.
Same thing.
Yeah, so then. Right. Mishnah Avodah Zarah, right? So Tosis is quoting that Mishnah. So the Mishnah
says. It says Nachri, doesn't say Kusim.
Okay, so if it's good for a Nachri, Kavacham is good for a Kusim. So if you have a Jew making the wine, so then is that it's kosher? Then is that it's kosher. Before the days of Rashi, Professor Chaim Soloveitchik has a chapter about this in his book on Stam Yenam, has a big fat book on Stam Yenam in the Middle Ages. So he says, before the days of Rashi, Maseches Avodah Zarah was totally understood differently. And Rashi gave us the understanding that we today have. So he says, before the days of Rashi, many misunderstood that Stam Yenam means that if the wine belongs to a Nachri, you would have a bottle of Kedem wine, you sell it to a Goy, you buy it back, that's Stam Yenam. Because it belonged to a goy for a day. If you buy a bottle of kosher wine from a goyish liquor shop, so the Rishonim before the days of Rashi held it, that's called Stam Yenam because of the ownership of the Noch. Then Rashi always writes, I don't think that's right. So that's one of the things that Rashi had to clear up. That in the earlier generations, they held that it depends on ownership, and we don't pass like that. What would be a shaila would be, what if the Nochri manufactured the wine, he pushed all the buttons, but he never touched the wine with his fingers. There's no maga akum. Would that be yasir or not? So that's a question.
Do you expect the guy literally to touch the wine, or is it to pour the wine? Like if a person has a refrigerator, and the cleaning lady was going to the refrigerator, and you had some yain that wasn't mevushel, that's really a problem.
The yain is not mevushel.
Yeah.
So if the bottle is closed, you have mishnayos like that. Non-Jews are transporting kosher wine on their shoulders and the barrels are open. And the guy is holding the barrel. So the mishnayos discuss, do you have to be concerned that his fingers are going to stick into... The barrel doesn't have a lid on top. He's carrying open barrel. So if you don't think that he touched the wine, then it's mutter. Just because he's carrying it, that's not a problem.
Well, you know they touched it. The cleaning lady moved there, she was cleaning
she
it.
She moved the bottle,
yeah,
but she didn't touch it with her finger, the wine. The bottle is closed, and Tosis said that's not a problem. Even if you have a canteen that you can squeeze in, and the guy squeezes in, but it's closed on top, so that's not called derech nisach bekach. That's not a problem. Certainly if you have a bottle and the bottle is closed on top, it doesn't have to be sealed or anything. It's closed on top. I know the Nachri didn't stick his fingers in, so that's not a problem. What is a shayla is if the magakum, if the Nachri sticks his fingers in, if the goy pours the wine, that's a chumra midrabbanan. Even though the goy is only pouring wine, so that's a gzeira mishum magakum. Koichai. Koichai is also gzeira otu magakum. Yes.
Roll up the chavis. So didn't the Chazanis say that the reason why he called it just this solemnness is because it's something which is not lotech, meaning it's not in 212 degrees.
Right.
Therefore, when it goes down, and I'm doing here, I'm doing from mesicha. So if you megalgal the chavis, could be it will stay at solemnness till the point I'm megalgal on the whole chavis. But I started off from mesicha, meaning I didn't after I poured it, so it could stay.
I mean, if I'm going to roll the barrel, it's going to not even be Yatzaletis. No, that even the Rabbeinu Tam will agree is no good. But even if it does remain Yatzaletis, Tosfos still objects to it. That's not even Irui. Once the Irui is if you pour burning hot water and it lands on a spot. So the spot on the barrel that it lands on, that's called Irui. Then when I start to roll the barrel, that's called Klisheni already. Once it landed and it hit the barrel, now it's rolling around. That's Klisheni. So how is a Hagola de Klisheni also acceptable? That's what the Balei HaTosfos disagree with the Rabbeinu Tam. So on Shulchan Aruch they say L'chatchil you shouldn't rely on the Rabbeinu Tam, but B'riyevit we didn't even be makel with the rolling of the barrel. L'chatchil we even insist that you need Irei directly. You have to have a hose shooting burning hot water. The water should be above Yatzalet, is above 175 degrees, and you have to have it shooting the burning hot water on every inch of the inside of the barrel.
You have
the tap probably the water from the faucet doesn't hit every spot on the first of all doesn't every spot on the sink. It's going to hit one spot, then it's going to bounce to the side. So once it hits the floor and it bounces to the side,
some sinks have the two taps that you can pull one of them out and it sprays.
Okay. If you have like that, it's still a problem because sometimes you have burning hot spaghetti, noodles that you cooked on the fire, and then you want to pour out all the water, so you held the strainer and you pour the spaghetti on top, so sometimes the particles of spaghetti fall on the bottom. So when the particles fall on the bottom, that's mamish, that's a blia, that's worse than irui. Irui is in between kli rishon and kli sheni. So we pass an irui is only mevashel kedei klipan and only kashizat kedei klipan. Irui is if you have a liquid, so the liquid cools down a little bit. But if you have a piece of solid, sometimes let's say a balabas to just bake the pie, and then she chomets like a pie, and then she holds it over the sink, and by mistake part of the pie falls on the sink, burning hot pie. So if you have a dova gush, so we treat a dova gush as if it's still a kli rishon. Calls man that it's yatzaletis, but we don't say it's only the level of irui. We say it has the status of a kli rishon. So that's why you got a problem kashering the sink. There may be a bli of kli rishon in the sink, and an irui hagola wouldn't be sufficient.
So why is taking the kettle off the stove and pouring that help?
It may not help. Shulchan Aruch, that's what they're talking. May not help. Ramosh is Mekel that what?
Our sinks that don't hit the same spot, so are you choshish for that for Pesach?
What, that the treifas fell in one spot, and I'm going to put a kosher dish now, may not be in the same spot. Okay, we'll worry about that. We'll get to it. Yeah?
On Kuf Dalam Aleph, the Gemara says that we don't make a gezeira to gezeira. So the Rebbe just said, Irui Atu. I think it was up to the maga, the where the guy actually touches it. So aren't those both gezeiras derabanan?
Kochel. They asked it if the guy pours kochel, they made gezeira up to maga. Maga itself is only the rabbanan. Yeah, that's it. The Gemara says you don't make gezeira, and then Tosfos writes over there that sometimes you do. The Tosfos on Kuf Dalam Aleph, the third Tosfos writes, Yesh mukam is dagerin gezeira. That's the last four lines in that Tosfos. On Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, the third Tosfos. Sometimes you do have gzeira l'gzeira. Sometimes you do, and sometimes you don't. Okay. Okay, that's an issue. Fine, so we have a din, Nachamal, we have a din of Kavish Kemevushal. Where do we have it again? We had it on the top line in Kuf Yud Gimel Amin Aleph. Amar Shmuel, Maliach Kereseach, the Kavish Kemevushal. We have a din of Kavish Kemevushal. In Kol HaTorah Kula, Kavish Kemevushal makes treif min HaTorah. If you assume Tam Kika is the Raisa, which we paskin, like Tosfos, Tam Kika is the Raisa. So Kavish Kemevushal is also the Raisa. And Basa B'chol, but the Gemara says, it's not an Issa the Raisa. Itar Lekuli Yom B'chelva, Shari it'll be Mutam min HaTorah. With the Rabbanan, it'll certainly be Asa. If you're going to soak a piece of meat in milk for 24 hours, it'll absorb the whole time of the milk. For sure it'll be Asa. The Taz raises the question, though, how osir is it going to be? It means you're not allowed to have, let's say I'm eating a sandwich, I'm eating fleshiks and milchiks at the same time. I'm drinking milk and I'm having salami sandwich and flesh and milk at the same time. So there's no bas b'cholav, you didn't cook bas b'cholav, there's no chefza bas b'cholav, but you're not allowed to eat flesh and milk at the same meal. So if you soaked meat and milk, kovish kemevushal, you're not allowed to eat it because you're eating fleshiks and milchiks at the same time. Or because, worse than that, because Midi Rabbanon, even though Min HaTorah it's only us if you did Bishul, but Midi Rabbanon, if you did Kavush, so the Chefta becomes Basa B'chol, my Nafkemina. We just gave the Taz's Nafkemina the other day. We said if you have ham that was cooked with milk, or you have kosher meat that was cooked with pork, with pig's milk. So Min HaTorah there's not Basa B'chol, but you're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to eat it because it's ham. Because it's chol behemet tmeah, of course you're not allowed to eat it. So the Torah said not only because chol behemet tmeah, besides behemet tmeah, it becomes basa b'chol in the rabbanon. And the Beis Yosef and the Shach say it doesn't make any sense. They disagree with the Torah. So the Taz commented in Simon Pei Zayin, what's the difference halacha l'maaseh between the Torah and the Beis Yosef? So he said there is a din of chaticha haruy l'skabe, that a chaticha haruy l'skabe if you have a steak. And it's a double choshev, you would be mechaber a guest to eat this fancy steak. And you have one tray for steak got mixed up with kosher steaks. So Min HaTorah, I should say, chad betray is bottled, but if it's a steak, it's a chatech ruilis kabed. So Midi Rabbanon, there's a chumra that you don't apply chad betray bottle. So that din of chatech ruilis kabed is not bottle, only applies if the thing is an isamach masatzma. If you have a fancy kosher steak that happened to be cooked with a little chazashmals, you threw a little bit of ingredients, and I can't identify which is the treifa steak. I have five steaks, four are kosher, and one is treif because it has a bli of treifas in it. So that's not called the chaticha haruilis kabet. That's not bottle. The chaticha, the steak itself is kosher. The isa habalobo is not roila his kabet. So that would be bottle. So the shaila is over here. Shaila is over here. If you have, let's say, so that was the Taz said that would be lachemina lalocha between the Torah and the Beis Yosef and the Shach. If you had behemoth mei with milk or behemoth toira, flesh behemoth toira, with cooked in chola behemoth meia, is it only also because of the bli of the chola behemoth meia? Then it's not a chatich ruil eskabe. Or do you say no? It becomes basa b'chola midi rabbanon, so it's a chatich ruil eskabe, so it's going to be memasha. It won't be bubble. So the same shaila is over here. The Taz points out he thinks this is a machlek as the Rambam and the Rashba. If you have kovish kemevushal, you have a steak. And you soak the steak in milk, and the other five steaks you soaked also in soy milk. And now you taste it, you can't tell the difference. They all taste the same. But I know that one of them was kovish kemevushal in milk, and the other four are not in milk. The others are in cholav ashkedim, coconut milk, or something else that doesn't make basa b'cholav. So would you say that the one that's kovish in milk becomes basa b'cholav midir abanon? And because it's at stake, it's a chaticha haruyel iskabe. So therefore, it's going to be ain't a bottle. Or they say, no. The flesh remains, the steak, the kosher steak remains kosher. You're not allowed to eat it because you're having flesh eggs and milk eggs simultaneously. You're not allowed to have meat and milk simultaneously. What's the reason why? So the Taz points out that is a machlekes, the Rambam. That's a machlekes, got to find the Taz. That's a machlekes between the Rambam and the Rashba. But you say in such a case that it becomes basa b'chol mid the rabbanon? Oh no, it's just that you're having flesh and milk at the same time.
What is there is that basa b'chol at the same time?
That's exactly the rabbanon. You're not allowed to have basa b'chol. You're not allowed to meat and milk at the same time.
Is there any of the rabbanon
Yeah. So that's a machlekes harishonim, whether kavish kemevushal makes. Basa b'cholam the rabbanon, no. Yeah. if you want to do, sometimes shailas come up about kavush kemevush. Take for example, the slaughterhouses are in wherever they are, Iowa, wherever they are. So they send the meat by truck. So a lot of times when they'll send to the New York area, so they don't want the livers to dry out. So they'll have the livers soaking in blood. And the livers will be soaking blood for more than 24 hours. So the liver is all full of blood. All the meat is all full of blood. They send it to the butcher shops. They send it to the butcher shops in the New York area. So all the meat is full of blood. So you salt the meat and you remove the blood. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, what if I take a piece of meat and I cook it with blood? I cook it with blood. So I'll salt it later on. So what's the problem? You salt it just like if you have a piece of meat. Piece of meat is always full of blood. So you salt it so the blood comes out. So if you cook the piece of meat with blood, what's the problem? So says in Shulchan Aruch, that's not going to work. We assume that when you salt the meat, all the blood comes out. That's only the blood that's in the capillaries naturally there. But if you have dam, that was achatichas basish and is bashal bedoma, then salting is not going to help. Let's see. That's in Simas Samachtes. That's Hilchos Malicha. Sif Yud Aleph. Boshesh in his Bashal Baloi Malicha. I cook a piece of meat. So then it says you're going to have a problem if you have so much water in the pot that you have shishim against all the dam that came out. So all the dam was bottled with shishim in the water. And then when it's going to come back into this piece of flesh, so there's already in this bottle of shishim, so there's no problem. What if you don't have shishim in the water? Kenega the piece of flesh. So we assume that dam goes out. See, the din is a dam yivarm shalom pirish is muta. The Tosis has every 40 blot, but the Masichta doesn't always repeat. So if you have a raw piece of meat and you want to eat it the way it is, so that's, you don't need malicha for that. The dam yivarm shalom pirish, if you have a piece of meat that has blood in the capillaries, that's called moel habasa. That's the juice of the meat. That's okay. If I take a piece of meat and I squeeze it out, so that's dame varm shepirish, so then you're not allowed to eat. So why do you have to kash it? Why do you have to salt any meat? It's dame varm shelopirish. So cook the piece of meat. What's the problem? The answer is when you cook the meat, we're concerned the dam is going to go out from the meat into the soup, then it's going to go back in. So it's going to be dame varm shepirish and it's going to be chozer. So it's chozer, so what? So I'll salt it. What's the problem? It says in Shulchan Aruch, and the Rishonim know, we assume that doesn't work. Salting only accomplishes removing of the dam that's naturally there in the capillaries. But if the dam was niblai de bishul, so then we assume that salting is not going to help. So the Shulchan Aruch has a machloikis. If you have a piece of meat that you never salted and it has a lot of dam, and I soaked it, gotta find this in Shulchan Aruch. I have a piece basa hamaluchloch bedam. Okay, we'll have our research man's gonna look for it. Someone's gonna find it here. If you have a basa hamaluchloch bedam, and then you soak this piece of meat in a pot of water, where you don't have shishim in the water, can I get all of the dam that came out? If you have shishim in the water, so whatever dam went out is bottled with shishim, so even it's going to go back in. It's a water that's being nivla. The dam is bottled with shishim, so it can't answer the piece of meat. Let's say you have a little bit of water in the pot, you don't have shishim. So you have to be concerned, maybe dam went out, kovish kemavush, maybe the dam went out from the piece of meat into the water, and then it went back in into the piece of meat.
You don't say kama kama bottle?
Kamakama bottle is only if you have shishim against what comes out. But here the dam keeps on coming out a little at a time. If it keeps on coming out, then you don't say kamakama bottle. We're going to have to learn that. You don't say kamakama bottle there. So in Shulchan Aruch, there's a machlekes. What do you do in such a case? If you have a basa hamaluchloch bedamim, you have a piece of meat that has dam all over it, and I didn't salt it yet. Do you treat that like basa and is bashal bedamai? Dam that was nizbashel in a piece of meat is any yotzal day malicha. So do you say kovish kim mevushal? Do you take Shmuel's statement literally? Kovish is kim mevushal. It's considered as if I cooked it. So if I would have cooked the meat with the dam, so malicha doesn't help. So would you say here malicha is not going to help? Or you say no, kovish kim mevushal is just a malitza. What it means is that it makes a bliya. It's a big deal. Every piece of meat has dam in it. It has the dam in the capillaries. And if you do malicha, it helps. So over here also, kavish kemavushal is not considered as if mamish, the dam was nivla into the meat, ayidei bishul. The dam is nivla, but if you'll salt it, if you salt it, then all the dam will come out. That's in Simon Samach Teh, Sif Teh Zvot. Basa hamaluch loch bedamim, she nishra b'may meisleis, I soaked the meat in water for more than 24 hours, so kavish kemavushal. So the Rama says, yeshoshim afilu letzli. There are those who say you're not allowed to eat the meat at all, because malicha is not going to help later on. Malicha doesn't help. If it was balea, if the meat was balea the dam, al yedei bishul. Malicha only helps for the dam shebechaticha, but it doesn't help if the chaticha's boss was balea flesh, al yedei bishul, and maybe kovish is kemavushal. So the Bir Agro on that Sif, and Sif Tezvah points out this is a dispute in Rishonim. They say kovish kemavushal only means enerak linya shemaflit umavliya, avloy lachal dover. It doesn't mean that kovish is literally accomplishes the same as bishul. But they say no, kovish kemavushal. Kavush is considered as if you cooked it. Is mamish considered as if you cooked it? Let's see in another area of halacha. What's the din if you have an esrig hamavushal? So an esrig hamavushal is pasul. What if you have an esrig hakavush? What if I have an esrig and I soaked it in a container of water for 24 hours? So what's the din? So that's a beferish b'raisa in the Gemara. You have empiric lulav agos, and it goes one at a time. It goes all the dinam of lulav, all the dinam of rovus, all the dinam of hadas, and that has all the dinam of esrog that you ever want to learn about in your life. So it has on the Mishnah of esrog, the dinam of esrog are on lamed dalet on the base of the Mishnah. Then the Gemara quotes a brayse on lamed hey amid aleph, I think. Should be a brayse over here somewhere that esrog hakovush is not good. Where is that? Esrog kavush, that's lamed vav amid aleph. Gemara has a brayse toshma. Esrog hakavush is pasul. So you say kavush kemavushal, not only is it the favorite you did, not only they say kavush kemavushal that it accomplishes an asinas tam, we say kavush is considered like mavushal. So just like an esrog hamavushal is pasul because it's panim chadash is bolakan. It no longer retains its original identity. I consider it as if it's a synthetic thing. An esrog has to be something that grew on the tree. Pre-Eitzot has to grow on the tree. Once I cook the esrog, that's a sugi in brachas. What bracha do you say on cooked fruits or cooked vegetables? Shlokas. Does it retain its original identity and you still say ho'adama ho'eitz? Or you say panam chadosh, the bovlakan, I cooked it, so it's not considered the same. If you have potatoes, and normal human beings don't eat potatoes until you cook them. So you don't say panam chadosh, that's how you eat it. But if you have apples, and in America people eat apples raw, you go and you cook the apple, so, or let's say you have grapes, which Meshuggah eats. In America you eat baked apples also, but let's say grapes, which Meshuggah eats cooked grapes. Everybody eats grapes normally. So someone takes a grape and he cooks it. So then asvara, the Gemara says, it's not asvara, the din is that you say shahakal. You don't say bar pihoetz, you don't say bar piadama either. It loses its original identity. It's considered a synthetic food. So in the Sugyan Brachas, when the Gemara talks about shlokos, on cooked fruits and vegetables, when it's ishtani ligriyuso, when that's not the way people eat it, so it's considered like a synthetic food. So the Gemara quotes some of these dinim, that if you take a matzah and you cook it, so you're not yoytze, it's panam chadash bolakan, it loses its original status. So that's a din that an esrog hamavushal is no good. An esrog hakavush is also no good. So the pashtus is, you see from this din in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, in Lamed Vav, in Meral, in the Sukkah, that esrog hakavush is no good. You see, that's the way we paskin there, and that simon that I was just reading. That if the dam was nivla into the flesh, ayidei bishul, then malicha doesn't help. Malicha only helps if the dam is there naturally. If it's nivla, ayidei bishul is no good. And even if the dam is nivla, ayidei kavush, so it's a machlekes harishonim. That's sif tezva, machlekes harishonim. And some rishonim hold that kavush is only not kemavushal. Ain't a rak linish and mafli to mavliya, v'loy l'chol dover. So we don't pass like that. We hold that kavush is kemavushal l'chol dover. We treat it as if it's mavushal.
How do you deal with the
brayso? I don't know. What do you do with the brisa in sukkah? It says the verse that an esrog kavish is no good. I don't know. That's a very strong kasha, but that's how we assume there. We assume that kavish is mamish kemevushal. Here, esrog hakavush would it change its bracha? Should? Yeah, should. I don't know. I don't know what bracha would we say on an esrog. I guess it's not normal to eat an esrog raw. If you have a tame in the esrog, they're very tasty. One opinion in the Gemara is that the Eitz Hadas was an esrog tree. By us, who would want to eat? What's so luscious by eating esrogim? By us. So that's the Taimonim say that's a riot. That's their esrogim, it's not our esrogim. I don't know, by us? I mean, if you have a taim in the esrog, and if you cook it, probably not normal to eat it after it's cooked. I don't know, gotta find out. Is it normal?
The esrog hamavushal is
the. Kishtani. Yeah.
If it was
Esrog HaKavosh. Even Esrog HaMavusha, what bracha would you say? Let's say a tame in the Esrog that tastes good, and they eat it raw. They eat it Mavusha. If they eat it Mavusha also, then it's not called Ishtani Ligriyusa. Bishul is only accomplishes that it's Panim Chadoshes if it's Ishtani Ligriyusa. If it's not Ishtani Ligriyusa, then it retains the original status, but it'll still be puzzled for the mitzvah of Esrog. So here, you have to look, if you look in the Pischei Tshuva on the bottom of the page in Simon Pei Zayin, when they talk about Kavish Kamavushon, so he has the Shaila that comes up by Hasidim every year. Hasidim want to retain the freshness of the lulav, the hadasim and the aravis. So they have a bucket of water, and when they come home after Musaf, they put the lulav and the hadasim and the aravis in a bucket of water, so it's soaking in water a couple of inches. So they put it back in the bucket after Musaf, and they take it out tomorrow morning before Shachris, so it doesn't sit in the water for 24 hours straight. What do you do on Shabbos? On Shabbos it sits in the water from after Musaf yesterday on Friday morning till before Shacharis on Sunday morning. So it's soaking in the water for more than 24 hours. So that's a diyun, that's a big machlokes. Maybe I should say Kavish Kemevushal. The Gemara only says Kavish Kemevushal by the Esrog. Would you say Kavish Kemevushal on a lulav? Lulav is not a food item. Maybe Kavish Kemevushal only applies if it's a food item. Then you can talk about Bishul, you can talk about Kavish Kamavushal. Do you say Kavish Kamavushal on a lulav? So the Pischei Tshuva on Simon Pei Zayin quotes this discussion. If you look in the Stechemed, which was written later, Stechemed is an encyclopedia of sorts, which was written after the Pischei Tshuva. So he quotes that there's a Ramban who talks beferish about the topic, and there are two girsas in the Ramban, whether it says it is good or it's no good. Whether the lulav HaKavish is good or no good. But the whole source of the topic comes from over here. Let's say an esrog hakavush. An esrog hakavush is no good. So I remember Rabbi Tendler, I think, told us many years ago that in Europe, where Rabbi Moshe Feinstein lived, it was practically impossible to get an esrog every year. So one year he got an esrog and wanted to preserve it for the next year. But if you keep an esrog from one year to the next, it's going to dry out, it's going to shrink, it's going to be an esrog hayavish. It'll be no good. So Rabbi Moshe, after Sukkot was over, put the esrog in a container of honey. Inside the honey. Had honey all around to preserve it. So the shad is that kavish kemevushal. If it's kavish and vayta, no good. So the Darkei Tshuva talks about that. Darkei Tshuva, about kavish kemevushal, the main discussion he has is in Simen Samach Tes, where we were reading before. Simen Samach Tes, Sif Tes Vav. Basa hamaluch lech bedamim shemisha b'mayim eisleis kavish kemevushal. So we treat that like basa shen is bashal bedamoy. Malicha doesn't help, so we pass the Malicha doesn't help there. If it's Kavish, Malicha isn't going to help. So he has a lot of details there about Kavish Kamavushal. So he talks about Kavish and honey. So he says it depends how thick the honey is. If the honey is very, very thick, that's not called Kavish Kamavushal. If the honey is very thin, it pours. What's the word in English? My professor spoke a Yiddish in English. I had Professor Soloveitchik for chemistry. That's Rav Soloveitchik's brother. So he used to talk viscosity. Is that the way you pronounce it? Viscosity. How viscous it is. Viscosity. So I think my Chai Vodam Lai Meloshim Rabbi, I think my Rebbe said viscosity. Whatever it is. So if it pours very easily, then the Darkei Tshuva says, then you're going to say Kavish Kamavusha. But if it's thick honey, it doesn't pour so easily. It doesn't at all pour like water. Then you don't apply Kavish Kamavusha. The whole din of Kavish Kamavusha doesn't apply. I started to say they used to deliver the meat. It's still a problem now. When they deliver the meat, if you have Shechita in the Midwest and they deliver it to New York, So they don't want the livers to dry out. So what they usually do is they soak the livers in blood the whole time to retain their freshness. So the Din of Shulchan Aruch, we just read, Sif Tazvav, Simen Samach Tez, Sif Tazvav. If you soak a piece of flesh, a piece of raw meat that you didn't kasher yet in blood for 24 hours, you say, Kavish Kemavusha, just like if you would cook the meat with the blood, you can no longer salt it. So if you soaked it in water, soaked it in dam for 24 hours, also it won't come out even Malich Ayidei Tzliya, it's not going to come out, it won't come out. So there were those who were of the opinion that Dr. Chubik quotes the whole thing, and that's Simon Samach Tessif as well. Those who are of the opinion, Kavish Kemavushal is only if it's sitting in the blood calmly. But because the truck is always shaking as it's driving all those miles from Iowa to New York, so because the blood is shaking, it's not really sitting in the same blood. The blood is rolling around all over the place. So that's not called Kavish Kemavushal. So we really don't accept that opinion. We pass them, that's still called Kavish Kemavushal, even if they're shaking the whole time. Let's say if someone has a hose and he keeps on shooting blood, kiseder, on the meat, cold blood on the meat. And as the blood falls down, he has a drain pipe on the bottom, and the blood keeps on rinsing off the meat. He wants to retain the freshness, and the blood goes down the drain pipe and it comes back into the hose and it keeps on shooting for 24 hours straight. The blood is being shot on the meat. All over the place, the blood. But it's not the same blood. It doesn't sit in the same blood. So that be taka pasman, that's not kavish kemavushal. So that's the system that they introduced. They want to retain the freshness of the livers, so then they don't permit them to leave the livers soaking in the blood. Even though the truck is shaking up and down, we're machma that is called kavish kemavushal. But if you have a system where all the blood is going out, the exact same blood is coming back later, but it's not sitting in the blood for 24 hours straight, even though it's being showered with blood the whole time, to say that that's not called kavish kemavushal.
The chumras like olam, not the meat, which went 3 days without being salted.
Yeah.
So if after 24 hours, it's also because of kavish kemavushal, what's the...
No, kavish kemavushal if it's soaking in water, soaking in blood, so the blood goes out and comes back in. So that's kavish kemavushal. Here we're talking about a piece of meat sitting around for 72 hours.
It's always blood. You're never going to have a piece of meat which hasn't been salted.
But that's not called kavish. Kavish means you have a lot of liquid all over the place.
So it's with the lulav. The lulav are an inch or two of water. And
so the bottom 4 inches of the lulav is kavish kemavushal, so maybe I should consider it as if it's cut off. So maybe you have to passel the bottom 4 inches. Maybe the lulav is not tall enough once you passel the bottom 4 inches.
Yeah, so the piece of meat with a few drops of with the blood on, with a little bit of blood on the bottom, just cut off that bottom part, touching the blood.
No, that's not kavish. Means it's sitting in a lot of blood. Just because you have moisture on the bottom, that's not called kavish. You have to have a lot of blood. The whole thing has to be sitting in a lot of liquid.
Something said 20 hours in kavish kavushal in the liquid. What do I need to do in order to cancel that effect of kavushal? Do I need to take it out for a few seconds? Do I need to wipe it off?
You take it out for a few seconds in the middle. If you don't have 24 hours straight, then there's no problem of kavushal. Even though you had 12 hours in a shot, and 12 hours in a shot, but you did a half soak in the middle, so that's not... Or if you have all the liquid is draining out, and then it comes back in. So that's what they have a system on all these trucks. That the blood comes out and goes back in, so it's not sitting in the same blood straight for 24 hours, but that's not called kavish kemavushal.
Also, this din of kavish kemavushal, is it daraisa or darabonah? Meaning in sukkah could be that the mushal was given daraisa, but the kavish kemavushal could be maybe a chash darabonah. Meaning the pasuk, aisur mevushal is pasuk in daraisa, because parim chadash is
kavish kemavushal. Could be, I don't know. Good question. You have to look in the Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim, the first question he asked is every single line in Shulchan Aruch, is this a din d'oraisa or is this a din d'rabbanan? It's important to know. Yeah. No, kavish kemavushal making a trade for bali, that's for sure d'oraisa, and that's the exception to the rule, that's the chiddush of basam chola. But he wants to know kavish kemavushal to pass a liyestrik that I call it panim chadash is bolakan. And over here, kavish kemavushal is considered as if the dam was nivlai de bishul and melicha doesn't help. Is this their rice or their abundant? This, I don't know. This is a good question.
By Kufya Gimel Manoff and Shmuel says kavish kemavushal. Rebbe said a little while ago that we paskin like Tosavis, the atom kicker is the rice, therefore kavish kemavushal is the rice. But according to Rashi, it's derabanan.
Rashi holds that even if you cook the chaz v'shmaltz with the kosher food, it's only derabanan. If it's less than 50%, Rashi holds tam ki ikra is lav derayses. So kavish can mevushel b'shari sum will also only be derabanan. The Gemara said the emsach and then davar and veis that if you hold it, tam ki ikra is derayses. Kavish can mevushel will be derayses by shari sum, but by basa b'chala for sure it'll only be derabanan. Because derech bishul nasir ter, it's only yosef, it's derech bishul. Same thing if you have malicha. Same thing if you have malicha. Then maliach kiraseach, that's the top line of Kuf Yud Gimel Amarav. Shmuel says both maliach kiraseach and kavish kemevushal. So maliach is kiraseach, while aser and kol atarakula, if you have treifa, if you have salted together kosher fish with treifa fish, or kosher meat with non-kosher meat. So the treifa fish or the treifa meat is so salty, not stam has a little salt that makes it tasty, it's so salty that it's ein anecha machmas molcha, we'll have to learn the gemaras. So then you say maliach kiraseach, so it'll make treif, the kosher fish or the kosher flesh that you salted together with it. So that's because tam kika deraisen, kolatarkula, so maliach kiraseach is a din deraisen. And by basa b'chala, maliach kiraseach will only be a din derabanan, it'll be the same shaila, the same taz, has the machlokes of the Rambam and the Rashba. If you have cheese and meat that are held next to each other with maliach, so much salt, will that make an achevtza of basa b'chalav? And if the piece of meat will be a steak, it'll be a chatich v'ilas kabit, it'll be not bottle. Or they say, no, it'll make a bliya of cheese into the flesh, and you're eating fleshiks and milchiks at the same time, but it's not that you created a chevtza of basa b'chalav. So the Taz says, that's a machlokes harishon. So maliach kiraseach by basa b'chalav is only the rabbanan. Maliach kiraseach and kol atarakula would be a din deraisa. The only time we'll have deraisa by basa b'chalav is going to be if it's derech bishul. Yeah, we have a din in Hilchus Shabbos. Bishul is one of the lamates of his malachas. So the Gemara says Masechah Shabbos that bishul is only osir if it's bishul bikli rishon. If it's bishul bikli sheni, so there's no bishul. So what's the din over here by basa b'chalav? So the Gemara has on the first daf in Kol HaBasa on Kuf Dalet on the base. The Gemara says, what's so bad about two people eating? He's going to eat flesh, I'm going to eat milchiks at the same time. What's so bad? I made my mistake, nibble a piece of his meat while I'm eating my cheese. So the whole Aveira is only the Rabbanan, eating fleshiks and milchiks in the same meal. What's so gefilach? The Gemara says, no, we're afraid that he'll have some hot flesh, and by mistake I'll mix in some of the cheese into the flesh and I'll make a basa b'chalav. The Gemara says, but his flesh is going to be in his plate. The plate is already a klisheni, so klisheni is ainu mevashil. There's not going to be basa b'chalav deraisa, so it's vayter. It's a gzeru l'gzeru. The Gemara says, we're concerned, maybe shema yala b'ilfis raseach. Maybe he'll bring a burning hot frying pan on the table, and that'll be bikli rishon. That'll be already bikli rishon. So the Gemara said the fairish, right before the Mishnah kuf dalet on the base. So the Gemara says that basa b'chalav deraisa is only if the basa and the chalav when nivla together, they bishul bikli rishon. If you have bishul bikli sheni, Salpidin, it's not called bishul. It's not called bishul in Hilchos Shabbos. It's not called bishul for basa b'chalav derais. The Gemara says it's not called bishul for Karban Pesach either. There's a separate law. Karban Pesach, you have to eat kiyim tzliyesh. You're not yet in the mitzvah unless it's broiled. What if you ate it bushel mevushel? So not only are you not yet in the mitzvah, you're over a loisese. Losech men ando avoshel mevushel ma'amayim. Kiyim tzliyesh, you mevatle mitzvah sese of eating Korban Pesach tzliyesh, and you're over, you ate malkas because you ate a basha mevushal. So what if you cooked the Korban Pesach and a klisheni? So the Gemara says, al pidin, that's not called bishul. That's not called bishul, because bishul b'klisheni doesn't count. The din of bishul b'klisheni doesn't count. It's not only a din in Hilchus Shabbos. That is, ain't derech bishul b'katzah, it's kalach hayad. No, it's a din in Kol HaTarkula. It's a din in Kol HaTarkula. If it would have only been a din in Hilchus Shabbos, then ain't derech bishul b'kach should have been an issa derabbanan. Whenever you do a malacha kalach hayad, ain't darke b'kach, it's also in the rabbanan. The din is here by bishul b'klisheni, it had to gomer on Shabbos. Why? Because it's not a kula unique to Hilchus Shabbos. Not because kalach hayad. It's ain't derech bishul b'kach and Kol HaTarkula is not called bishul. What if you cook the Korban Pesach b'chami tveriyo? You have burning hot water, but it's not heated al yidei ha'esh. It's not heated al yidei ha'esh. Naturally burning hot waters. So the Gemara says in Pesachim that if you're not in violation of the loisesi, boshel mevushel ba'mayim is only if it's bishul. The Yishol B'chamit Tveri is not considered Bishul. So that's what the Rambam quotes a Yerushalmi here, and it's quoted in Simon Pei Zayin and Yerideya. If you cook the meat with the milk, B'chamit Tveriya, perfect Bishul, the same Bishul as if you would have cooked it on top of the fire. But since it's not told us Ha'esh, that's not called Bishul Deraisa. Bishul Deraisa is only Bishul B'kli Rishon, Al-Gabi Ha'esh, or even Shalei Al-Gabi Ha'esh has to be told us Ha'esh. If it's not told us Ha'esh, so by definition, it's not called Bishul. It has to be Dafke Bishul B'kli Rishon. So then you have a Shaila, how do you deal with the Gemara Chesam and Beis? Okay, so we'll have to continue tomorrow, B'linere. The Gemara Chesam and Beis talks about Beis on Shchita Reseya. There's no burning fire over there. So how come it has a din of Bishul? No, Parsha is on Monday, 10 o'clock. Tomorrow we've got to do a little Gemara. Rabbi Troisky will cover the Parsha. Inshallah.
Rabbi, you said based on the Kodal and Amadei that it's only additional, and if it's Deraisa, Basrachala, then it's Kli Rishon, Kli Rishon.
Right.
What about in a Kli Sheni? In a Kli Sheni, will it be Derabanan, Kli Yasser?
That's a good question. We're going to get to that. And we have to do the Gemara Chesam on the base, and we have to see what's the din in Kli Sheni and Kol HaTorah Kula.
Josh, this one, who is this? But assuming that there is a ritual by
so the first
yeah, but then the whole discussion of Kishin would be on the same assumption. Right, so then it comes to the question of
That's because of his
shit. Whatever. At that point, we're completely off the shulchan.
We're doing that. That was Moros.
Then that was Thursday.
Thursday.
I think Sunday. We were Sunday.
What's today?
Wednesday.
Recording again.
Oh, great.